good to be together, isn't it? I think this is the first time ever I walked in. Normally I get to church about 8 o'clock and I normally open up and that, and the door's already open, the alarm's unset. Well, sorry, it's not open, and I opened it up and this amazing smell was throughout the church, and Stuart and his family and his team have been working flat out, and so thank you, Stu, out there, and thank you everyone that's bought food for today. And like Fiona says, you know, worship isn't just the thing we did with the guitar and the drums. Worship isn't just in this room. Worship is an attitude of life. And so when we go and we eat together, do it with joy, do it with gladness, do it in worship, and engage with each other as children of God. That's what I love about this place. And we're learning to do that. So Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that we can feed our spirits as well. May you speak to us this morning. Amen. If you got your Bibles, I'm going to read from Luke 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words. And could you imagine if an angel turned up and said that? Would you be worried or would you be excited? I don't know. Scared. Okay, there we go. Mary was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm going to go really slowly today because we've got a lot of time to fill up. Hopefully, well, just don't want lunch to eat. Anyway. It's an amazing passage, isn't it? How many here love the joy of Christmas? Yeah, it's all right. I live with a woman. My wife loves Christmas. My daughters love Christmas. Our whole family actually really enjoy Christmas. There is something about this time in our culture that is incredibly wonderful, isn't it? And is incredibly challenging. And I think that, you know, we have to learn to live with these tensions that we have in life, that there can be something that can be wonderful and it's challenging. It's wonderful because we remember the events written about the birth of Christ, what we've just read. It is wonderful because we are reminded that there was an event that will bring joy to all of the people. Jesus, the birth of Jesus. But it is challenging because there is a cultural pressure to spend lots of money on gifts and celebration. There is a consumeristic expectation that we decorate our houses and celebrate the season with wanton extravagance. It is a wonderful season because people are really generous at this time, I find. Company bonuses? Yeah? No? Okay, maybe that doesn't. Oh, well. My company didn't get a bonus either, but anyway. often there's things like company bonuses. People are nicer, not always, but often people are nicer because it's the Christmas spirit. tending to get into the spirit of the time. People are, Merry Christmas, nice to see you, didn't like you last month, but I'm going to tolerate you this month. You know, there seems to be an attitude of joy, doesn't there? More often in amongst the challenge, because it is also challenging because it's crazy busy. It's the end of the year, we're getting tired. We don't necessarily feel like being joyful because of the, well, who's been to Queensgate this week? Who's left it until next week? If you're going to go and buy some gifts, then going into Queensgate at this time of the year is nuts. And what we end up with is that some people love Christmas and some people hate it. Some people think it is the best thing ever and demand that we make it a big deal. And some who think it's not biblical and it's all just a commercial hoo-ha, and they push that we shouldn't do it. And we live in this tension, depending on what you're reading and what you're seeing and who you're hanging out with. But what I appreciate about Christmas and celebrating it is that it reminds us that Jesus is not like any other God figure in any other religion throughout the world, throughout the time. I think it's important to celebrate because it reminds us who he is, how he came, what he did, and what he expects of his followers. And so I will always be a champion for Christmas. Jesus came as a baby right into the mess of the world to redeem it, not to destroy it. To save people, not to condemn people. To bring joy to all those who would believe. And we have to remember that God didn't send Jesus to be celebrated just for a moment. He sent Jesus to be enjoyed and worshipped forever. Not just the rest of the year, or the month, or the year, not just the rest of your life, forever. Have you ever thought about this? What we celebrate in this seemingly insignificant little birth of Christ is the beginning of a forever reality. See, Jesus as a baby shows us that the kingdom of God grows. It begins, I sort of said last week, it's birthed in us. When we receive the kingdom, it starts as a seed. It starts as something small. When we come to faith, and it grows in us. And I think when I look at the baby Jesus, I think something that God is saying is, here is, I am giving the kingdom of God to the world, and it's minuscule, it's small, it seems insignificant, but it grows and it matures. And we are to receive Jesus with joy, and we are to live our lives by faith with his joy every day forever. How many of you are just full of joy forever? Yeah, trying. Yeah, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes it can be a bit ho-hum. Sometimes you get to Christmas and you're like, oh, the same old. Yeah. So what I want to look at this morning is, what does joy in Christ look like? And guess who I'm going to use? Mary. Let's look at Mary. So Mary was just this young girl, engaged to be married, and suddenly an angel appeared to her. How many of you have had an encounter with an angel? Ever seen an angel? I've had encounters with angels. I've never seen them, but I've heard people tell me there are angels behind me. A big angel, apparently. So I reckon there's one there. I've never seen it. But I like the thought that there's angels. The Bible doesn't shy away from the fact that there are angels. So if people said, Royce, that's a load of nonsense, I'm like, you know what? I didn't see it, but I believe, because the Bible's full of it. And this season, this story, this biblical story of Jesus is full of angels, isn't it? There's angels telling people left, right, and center, all this stuff. It's incredible. Anyway, this angel appeared to Mary and said, you have found favor with God, because she was an obedient woman. She loved God. And God had looked upon her and decided he was going to use her as part of his plan. And the angel said to her, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Now, that would be a challenging idea for Mary. The idea of being pregnant outside of marriage would have had its challenges at that time in history, would it not? I mean, even today, we're a little bit more free. We don't worry about that stuff quite so much. But it still would have been a challenge, wouldn't it? Especially if you were someone who was trying to be faithful to the word, faithful to God. If you were a person like that, a woman like that, and God said, you're now going to be pregnant, you would have had moment. I don't think Mary felt a lot of joy just at that moment. But listen what the angel said next. You are to call this baby Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And his kingdom will never end. What an amazing word. Just the enormity of that must have taken some time to think about. And Mary didn't take that time. Did you notice what she said? She didn't go, wow, I love it. She said, how? How is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. How am I going to be pregnant? Mary does what we all do. When God speaks, we try to work out how it is going to happen. Has anyone ever had a word from God? Have you ever thought, yay, now how's that going to work? I have. I've had a few of them, and I'm like, that's wonderful, but, and I immediately go into let's make it happen mode, and I have no idea how to make it happen. We try to work out what we need to do as if somehow it's up to us to make it happen. We worry about the implications for us. What are people going to think? You imagine for Mary, there's only one way to conceive. What is that going to look like? She was trying to figure out how this was going to happen. But she doesn't know. But here's the thing, God doesn't call us to understand. He calls us to believe. He calls us to faith. He calls us to trust him. He calls us to let him be God, and he calls us to be his people, to follow his lead. God does the part we can't do, and we do the part that we can do. So if God has given you a word that's impossible, great, that's okay. Just do what you can, what God's calling you to do, and let him do the part that he says he's going to do. So Mary says, how? How is this going to happen? So the angel explains this amazing supernatural thing that's going to happen. He says, the power of the Most High will get it done. And then he goes on to say, your cousin Elizabeth is going to have a baby in her old age. You would think I would know that name, wouldn't you? I shouldn't be tripping over that name. Elizabeth, right. That's right, I'm not allowed to call. Yeah. Her cousin Elizabeth is going to have a baby in her old age. In fact, she's already 6 months pregnant. And then he finishes with this really amazing line that I think every one of us need to really grab hold of and understand. For no word of God will ever fail. You know, if we need to understand, then when God speaks, it does happen. When God says something, it will happen. Maybe not in our time frame, not when we think, but God is faithful to his word. And so when Mary heard this explanation, I can imagine her bowing, maybe not physically, but in her spirit, and she just said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. What an amazing statement. Mary is submitting to what God has declared, and she says, I am here. Other versions say, I am here as the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. She's proclaiming her status. She recognizes she's not God. She recognizes God hasn't chosen her because she's capable and amazing. She's chosen because she's faithful. And in that posture, she says, may your word to me be fulfilled. May it happen as you said. And probably still not fully understanding it. Not understanding how a virgin can conceive a baby. Not understanding how a human might carry the Son of God. Not understanding how this incredible privilege might happen to me. I'm a nobody, just a young girl in this culture of male dominance and all that's going on. Mary says, may your word be fulfilled. Does Mary have joy? Yes. Right there. When she says, I'm your servant, may your word be fulfilled. That's actually joy. We might think of joy as something different, but I want to show you what joy looks like biblically. You know, Mary must have wondered about what had just happened. The angel went. I don't know whether it was at night. I don't know whether it was in a prayer time. I don't know whether it was in the synagogue or whether it was in her bedroom or whatever was going on. But Mary must have been wondering. She had to process what had just happened, what was said, what the implications of it were. Does she go and tell Joseph straight away? She's already engaged to him. Does she inform her parents, her family, her priests in the synagogue? Or who does she tell? Who's going to believe her? What do you do? Now, we don't know. It doesn't say. But in the very next verse, it says that Mary got ready and hurried to the hill country of Judea and entered the home of Elizabeth. You know, I used to think that maybe because she was pregnant, she sort of got pushed off to the... she disappeared because of the awkwardness. I actually have learned this week, as I've been pondering this, I think she was eager to see if what the angel said was true. I reckon she was in a hurry to go and go, if Elizabeth is pregnant, then maybe what was said to me is true as well. And if we jump through to... still in chapter 1, but go to verse 41, it says this. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women." She's speaking to Mary. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." See, Mary's action of going to see Elizabeth was an act of faith. She'd heard the word. An angel had kind of given her this bit of a clue, a bit of an insight into this is true. And so Mary jumped on it. She went. And she said, "I'm going to go and find out what's going on." And as soon as she enters the home, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. It responds to what is happening. And if you read the rest of Luke chapter 1, you'll understand what is happening. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But it's adding confirmation to the incredible things that have already happened for her. Now, in that time, a barren woman would have been talked about. A woman that didn't have a baby was assumed to be cursed. Elizabeth was an older woman, past the age of childbearing, probably feeling not great. Maybe she'd been spoken about. Maybe Mary had known about her. She's a cousin. She's in the family. Maybe things had been said. I mean, I don't know. We don't do it today, but in those days, people used to gossip and share stories about family members. I'm so pleased we're past all of that. But sorry. Humanity hasn't changed, has it? See, for a woman not to have a baby in that context was not good. And maybe Mary had grown up knowing the cultural disdain that had hung over Elizabeth. And as she entered the house, she must have seen this bulging belly. She must have heard the words from Elizabeth's mouth. And I reckon Mary's heart must have just skipped with joy. This barren cousin, this one that I've heard about all my life, is pregnant. Who would have thought? Who would have imagined? Just as the angel told me. Therefore, maybe the other things will be true as well. And I think Mary's joy begins to explode into full-blown excitement and enthusiasm. Why? Because look what happens in verse 46. Mary says, she bursts out in a song. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." What an incredible song, statement, a response to all that is going on. My soul glorifies the Lord. Can you imagine it for her? What the angel said is going to happen. I've seen a part of it already. So what is spoken over me is yet to come. She is overcome with the reality of all that's going on. God is at work doing this incredible thing. And her song, if you read this song, moves from what God is doing in her life. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He has done great things for me. And it moves to what God has been doing since Abraham. She understands she's part of a much bigger story of her people. She sees her place in the whakapapa of her people. She succinctly proclaims what God has always done. And it provides her with even more joy for what he is about to do and what he will do in the future. That's cool, isn't it? Wouldn't you love to do that? Now, this is something you've got to understand. Mary doesn't know how it's all going to work out. She doesn't yet know that she has to travel to Bethlehem while she's pregnant to give birth in a stable because nobody has any room for her. She doesn't yet know about fleeing to Egypt with her family. She doesn't yet know about the challenging life ahead living in a foreign country as a refugee. But she is full of joy in the promise. And I think that the promise is the word that will sustain her through all that is yet to come. And we can learn a lot from this. Because what God has spoken, when it will happen, there's a bit in between that often God doesn't give us the details for. And today, we love to have a word from God, don't we? How many of you love it when you get an encouraging word, whether it's somebody shares something with you, you read it and you feel God's doing it, or you're praying and maybe, I don't know, I've had those before. It's exciting, isn't it? We love it when God speaks. We marvel at what he wants to do. We go, I can't wait till that happens. But we forget that the word spoken doesn't contain the detail of the journey. It doesn't need to, because the word is enough to sustain us if we hold on to it. No matter what the journey looks like, the word, the promise of God is enough to sustain us. See, I wonder how Mary felt when there was no room at the inn. Ladies, if you had babies, just been on a donkey or walking for quite a while, you get there looking forward to the nice big double bed, clean sheets, comfort, and they go, no, sorry, full up, no room, got a shed out the back. Will that do? How would you feel? How did she hold to the proclamation of the angel that this baby would be great when after he's born he's lying in a feeding trough? What was going on within her? Was she going, was the angel serious? Because this isn't looking like the way I thought it was going to be. I wonder how she felt when Joseph woke her in the middle of the night and said, we need to go now. Pack up the baby, pack up your stuff, we need to go, and we're going to Egypt. Newborn baby. Now, I don't know whether it was maybe not the first week. Might have even been in the first a year or so, lad. We're not quite sure. But still, new baby, new life and all that. We're going. How would she have been feeling? I would say she probably felt scared and uncertain. She was probably worried and unsure. But I guarantee you this. Mary must have held on to what the angel spoke. She held on to the word of God. His kingdom will never end. There's something about this. And we need to learn that what God speaks will come to pass. The word of God will never fail. It's the promise we can all hold on to. And the joy that we have is to walk in obedience to the word of God, knowing that he is faithful to do what he said. See, joy is not a feeling, although it might flow over into feeling. It is not the same as happiness. It is not the same as just feeling good. It is not the same as things happening going our way. Joy is a deep-seated confidence in the reality that God is at work in the world, that God is at work in our lives, doing what he said he would do. Even if I don't feel it, you're working. Even if I don't see it, you're working. Do you believe that? God is at work doing what he will do. And I think that if we believe joy is the feeling of being happy, then we will be confused when the difficult times come. How many of us get sort of derailed off the plan of God because tough stuff happens? And we think, what's God doing? Well, God is doing what needs to be done. And we might not understand it, but I've learned in time that as we journey through the tough times being faithful, God actually turns it into good. I think Paul wrote something about that, didn't he? We know that God works for, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That's what he's saying. See, joy is what sustains you when the circumstances are against you. Joy is what holds you to the path of obedience to his word. Joy is what keeps you confident that what God said will happen. And if we think that joy is simply the feeling of being happy, then we will be confused when difficult times come. We will misinterpret challenges as not being in God's will, because it is not a happy thing to face challenges. Am I repeating myself? Anyway, listen to what Jesus says here. In John chapter 15, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this, listen to this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. My joy may be in you. Your joy may be complete. How? When we obey the word of Jesus, to love one another, to patiently journey with each other, to understand that God is doing something in the frustration of relationships and life. We don't need a specific word. So many people I've found are waiting for, what does God want me to do? And I'll just take them to that verse. Love one another. Love God. Love people. Discover what it means to be his child. There may be a specific word for you. There may be a calling to do a specific thing. And great. But that sits on top of this foundational understanding of loving one another, being faithful to Jesus. I had a word to pastor this church. It was very, very strong. But that doesn't excuse me from being a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus in the first instance. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say this, Hebrews 12:2, for the joy set before him, Jesus, he endured the cross. The joy set before him, the joy of what God had told him was enough to sustain him, to take him through the pain of the cross, scorning its shame, it says, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What God has for us is far greater than what we're walking through. Jesus' joy was to be obedient to the Father even when persecuted, even nailed to the cross. It was his joy to serve his Father. And here he is saying to his disciples, I have told you to love each other, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. See, joy is not a feeling. It is an intentional stance to be devoted, committed disciples of Jesus. Joy comes when we commit to his purposes for us. Why? Not because it's easy, but because we know there's a future. We know God is doing something in our obedience. We may not see it straight away, but in time, God is at work and we will see the fruit of what he promises. When we choose to love others and do it with joy, even when it is hard, even when it's not deserved, even when it's not recognized or appreciated, God is doing something in that. As disciples, as Christians, as servants, as followers of Jesus, it is our joy to obey him. Even if it gets us into strife, even if we don't understand what's going on. See, the promises that Jesus says here don't detail the trouble we will face in this life, but they proclaim the truth at the end that we hold on to with great joy. And I believe joy is what kept Mary. It's what kept her sane in the midst of, how many of you would like a life like Mary's? How many of you would love to be taken off to another country and then when you come back having to live something, all this stuff going on? We don't know all the details of what it was actually like, but I can't imagine it was easy. But I think that knowing what was spoken over her gave her a foundation of joy, And as she walked with Jesus as he grew, you know, he's now born and he's growing up, seeing the promise unfold before her must have increased her joy. Imagine what it must have been like seeing Jesus grow into a little boy, into a teenager, into a young man, and then into, wow, must have been incredible. Her commitment to allowing the word of God to play out must have increased with every wow moment that she had with Jesus. But the thing is, that's not the worst of it. I wonder sometimes when I read the scriptures, I read the gospels, I wonder what Mary thought as she saw her son being nailed to a Roman cross. Mums, can you imagine? Your child dying, unfairly judged. I wonder if her heart was filled with dread seeing her boy beaten and bloody, in pain, suffering, the crowds baying for his blood. And I wonder if she remembered the words spoken, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." And I wonder if her faith was kind of challenged in that moment, "But God, you said." Or was she firm going, "Wow, what is God going to do here?" These are the challenges that we have in this world. And when he was dead and buried, those few days. But then I think about the moment when she saw the empty tomb 3 days later. I wonder how her heart must have leapt with joy when the tomb was empty. And she remembered the angel's words, "The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." I wonder what it was like when she saw him for the first time and believed at a whole nother level the words that were originally spoken. I imagine she experienced the fullness of joy when she saw him ascend to heaven with the disciples, knowing and understanding that the words of God will never fail. This is an incredible story, this Christmas story, isn't it? It's incredibly powerful because it's very real. It's very us. It's right where we are in life. And today we still remember Mary. We remember the birth. We remember the characters in the narrative. We remember this woman who God chose to be the mother of his son. And as Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." It's amazing. You know, we may not ever have a specific word like Mary had. I can guarantee you we'll never have one of such significance. We will never. Yeah, because that event has happened and is done. But we can commit with joy to the promises of verses like John 3:16. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. Can we commit with joy and say that word was spoken and I can hold on to that, and whatever's going on for me, eternal life is at the end of whatever God is doing right here? Or the promise of John 6:14, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Do you hold on to those kind of verses? Do you know that there is a time where this mess, this craziness, this pain and suffering and this challenge will come to an end? There will be time where Jesus will return and will raise up those who believe in him. You know, we have an incredible bunch of words that we can hold on to. You don't have to wait for a specific one for you. Maybe just make these specific for you. Believe in Jesus. Hold on to his promise, and with joy carry that promise through everything you do in life, everywhere you go. And so for us, remembering this incredible event, we can be filled with confidence and joy at being servants of the living God. loving one another even when it is difficult and challenging, when it's undeserved, illogical, even if we, when we just don't feel like it. Obey Jesus. Love him with joy. Can our joy be full when we simply trust and obey the one who speaks the words that never fail? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the familiarity of it, and yet there's freshness, there's newness, there's an abundance. Father, I know that you are doing so much in our world. Lord, we may not see it, but Father, for those who believe, you are raising up, you are bringing us into life, and there is a future for all who call you Lord and submit to your will. And Father, for each one of us here, Lord, whether we're not on that journey, whether we've started the journey, whether we've been on it for a while, Lord, if we're in that place of wondering and questioning, we go, I know you've said this, but the difficulties are just seem overwhelming. Father, would you encourage us and strengthen us? Father, would you remind us that you have promised you will never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Father, you have promised you will return. Jesus, you have said, I will raise up on the last day my people. Father, may we be encouraged by the story of Mary and the reality of the birth of Christ and all that has gone on. May we realize that we can be a part of the picture that God has been doing through the history of mankind. He is doing something, and he will continue to do his will. And so, Father, for each one of us, may we commit to you afresh. And if we've never done that before, may we come, commit to you, invite you into our life. May we all be part of this amazing community of people that you are bringing into fullness of joy, fullness of confidence, fullness of life in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So before we finish, we've got another act of worship. So team, you want to come on up and do your thing.